Hi, this is Linda Tucci, senior news writer for SearchCIO.com. I'm talking today with Sean Banerjee. Sean is managing director of technology in the business services practice at the executive search firm Russell Reynolds. Hi, Sean.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for joining us. Sean, you're in the market in the recruitment business. Are there big no-nos that a CIO applicant really should avoid if they want to get past that initial interview?
I think one of the traps that many people fall into, and it's an easy one, but I think it's a must avoid, is around jargon. When people start to speak in the language of technology and not in the language of business, that can really cause a very significant disconnect. And I've seen more people come away from interviews that they thought had gone great and doing feedback with the client only to find out that at least half of the conversation might as well have been spoken in a foreign language because it, again, focused much more on technical competency than it did on business value creation. I mean, no one cares how elegant the architecture is. They want to know how did it improve your speed to market or take out costs. So that's one no-no. The other area that I think sometimes people don't always take into consideration when interviewing for these types of roles is that there's often an assumption that the person sitting across the table from you does not have, you know, any degree of technical knowledge. And it's not that they are, again, going to be a programmer or have a systems background, but they are very often these days people who, from a user standpoint, really understand how technology can work within an organization, and again, in order to create value. And you've got to, from that standpoint, really listen and pay attention to what the person is saying, because in many cases, these people will actually almost frame up the problem and tell you, quote, how to sell them, if you will. But because many technologists, unfortunately, have not been given the opportunity to fully develop their client or communication skills, they tend to overspeak and underlisten. And that can be a real detriment in the interview process. In fact, we've seen some people who, believe it or not, have because of simply their ability to listen and engender that kind of empathy with the person they're sitting across from, have advanced in processes and gotten roles when, in other respects, in respect to the requirement, that they weren't as capable as some of the other folks.
Yeah, so their ability to listen and communicate.
And really hear
trumped maybe even their qualifications.
Yeah, that's the great irony of some of these things is that the best person does not always get the job, so to speak. You know, and I know best person is a relative term.
You know, when you said that in an interview, sometimes the interviewer will frame a problem and offer that CIO applicant a chance to solve it. Do these problems that are being framed mainly have to do with saving money, or are they more theoretical?
Ironically, they're usually much more practical than that, in that they're often, the reason they're even having the conversation to begin with is because there are some very significant pain points or points of breakage, and when they frame up a scenario for you, let's say, 9 times out of 10, that scenario is born of a present or recent pain point or set of circumstances. And what they're seeking is, you know, it's almost like going to a doctor's office, and I joke, I say, you know, you've got to be able to, you know, diagnose this ill. You've got to be able to listen and then provide them with some very practical guidance and feedback on where you've experienced or seen this before. It's almost like a little bit of a business case study, and I think theory is the worst thing you can possibly have happen, where, you know, you have this wonderful theoretical discussion, and you come out of the room, and 3 hours later, the person that interviewed them says, great person, looked good in a suit or a skirt or whatever, good background, pedigree. What did that person really do? It's about being able to illustrate your points with concrete examples, almost like a mini business case. And many organizations have now moved to and we use it ourselves, competency-based interviewing for how they vet candidates. And competency-based interviewing is specifically developed to strip away theory and veneer and focus on specific contribution. So you need to be able to hear what they're saying, draw a parallel or analogous example of where you experienced something similar, define what the opportunity or challenge was, your role in developing the strategy and subsequently executing in order to solve or take advantage of that problem or opportunity, and then provide them with the specific result, financial or otherwise, and do so in a fairly succinct fashion. Those kinds of things that really make an impact and are meaningful, it's better that they come away from the meeting with being able to say, you know, that's the person who, you know, solved the dilemma that Ann Taylor had because they weren't able to identify who their affluent customers were who were using the AT credit card. That's the kind of thing you want to come. You don't want someone to come away thinking, this guy really, or this woman really, you know, knows how to install an ERP. And don't get me wrong, there are any number of cases where they really need someone who can do the ERP, but you've got to kind of move beyond purely what the technical requirement is and understand how is this hurting you, and then how have you gone about doing similar things in terms of fixing it.
So bedside manner, being able to listen, and then astute enough to come up with a diagnosis and then bring your skills to bear on how to solve whatever problem is on the table with examples from your own career.
Precisely. You have to be able to move beyond the theory.